We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the House of Hoosier podcast, brought to you by the Field of 68. As always, I'm Ben Haller. That's Austin Platt. And no guests this weekend, with the next week coming up, a big week coming to the Big Ten tournament. Just thought we'd take a short time to debrief everything. Indiana on a 2-game win streak going into the Big Ten tournament next week, and what these next couple of games this week will look like with Minnesota on the road tonight, and then Michigan State, the home cap on Sunday. So, Austin, I just want to get your initial thoughts so far on just the last couple of weeks, how much you've bought into Indiana actually getting a lot of improvement in the last couple of weeks, or is it just some matchups that worked out against Wisconsin and Maryland?
Ben, you know me. I've been the pessimist, I guess, of the two of us. I said Indiana last week would be like 1-4 or something in their last games. They'd lose on Wednesday in the Big Ten tournament. And now look, the last two games are 2-0. I said they beat Wisconsin. I did not think they'd go and beat Maryland. And so, you know, I think a lot of us gave up on this team, but this team didn't give up in themselves. I think that's the most important thing we can dissect from these last two wins. Both quad one wins, so, you know, big resume wins in a conference this year that has, you know, not been as great. The metrics, however, do favor them in terms of these quad one games. And Indiana has done a good job winning them. So I think the biggest thing is that this team does not believe their season is over. And, you know, whatever the season does end in whatever fashion, if there is some postseason basketball, whatever it is, this team isn't giving up. And a lot of people have underestimated Xavier Johnson. And I think Indiana, I think it's pretty obvious that if there's no Xavier Johnson, then I don't think Indiana wins out of these games. And sure, there's the argument that the fire alarm doesn't go off against Wisconsin when they're on their little comeback, then maybe the Hoosiers, you know, don't snap their 4-game losing streak and it turns into 5. But Xavier Johnson's a big piece of this puzzle. We know we've talked about Mike Woodson has just belabored things over and over again. And he certainly has said that Xavier Johnson, Indiana is better with him. And sure, you can point a finger at the injury happening and all that. But he's right in that sense. And I've been wrong about this team, and I hope others have as well. But credit to this team. We know Mike Woodson's been under fire a lot this year, especially as of late with that 4-game losing streak, and just not really being able to change things. But, you know, you're kind of up against the wall in both these games. A big deficit on the road against Maryland, a team that on the road you know lost to last year, and a team that has played better as of late. And they won these games and they put themselves into at least a little bit of a conversation to where we can play the what if game. What if this team goes on a run in the Big Ten tournament? Will there be postseason basketball? So credit to these guys, credit to the staff. I'm happy for the guys and for the staff that they're able to have this 2-game winning streak and at least have some hope, more hope than I've ever had, I guess, going into these last two very winnable games, by the way, very winnable last two regular season games.
Yeah, the Xavier Johnson situation is one that kind of I wanted to talk about first, and one that's kind of interesting, and honestly one that I really feel indifferent about right now. We talked about it on the last episode before Wisconsin, before we knew Xavier Johnson would be back. A couple people, even I think you were one of the ones that said that you didn't think they should really play him, even if he is healthy, just with the not really having a chance to make the NCAA tournament and then just improvement for next year. I kind of brought up the fact that, well, you always should be trying to win in college basketball. I understand the situation that Indiana is in, but in college basketball is set up to where, even if you're having a terrible season, in almost in 85% of cases, unless you're in a lower conference, you go into the conference tournament and have a chance to win the conference tournament. I mean, it's just something that the way college basketball is set up. So I thought Xavier Johnson should play. I didn't know how much he would actually mean to the team. And I think even early on when he started last week, I think it was a little rocky at first, but I think there was just something about the vibes and the confidence of the team, even off the court, that improved once he stepped onto the floor. And just knowing you have a little more depth in that backcourt, I think was one of the biggest things too. It definitely relieved some pressure off of the other guards. I think Trey Galloway is playing a lot more comfortable. That's one of the biggest things. And I think the whole Xavier Johnson situation has helped that too. So even going into postseason play, even if Xavier Johnson's not averaging 13 points like he did a couple of seasons ago, I still think he means a lot to this team just because of how much pressure he relieves off the other guards.
Absolutely. And the biggest reason why I said I don't want to see Xavier Johnson is because I think the staff has done a poor job, I think, with Gabe Cupps. We've talked about Gabe Cupps, a four-year guy. He's someone who's going to be at Indiana for a while. He's someone who needs to develop. And Mike Woodson has said all year, well, he got thrown into the pack of wolves, whatever his, quote is that he says every time that he got thrown in. We didn't expect, Gabe Cupps to be playing as many minutes. He said earlier this year sometime, we didn't think Jalen Hood-Schifino was a one and done. So, we didn't feel it was as necessary to, I guess, be ready with Gabe Cupps. But he's had to play a lot this year. But, when Xavier Johnson comes back, remember, this is not his first injury. He was injured earlier in the season. When he came back, he was terrible. And Mike Woodson, I think, insisted to play him. But in that situation, I was like, let me see Gabe Cupps really develop. He's been a lot more comfortable with his three-point shots as of late. He's been knocking more of them down. He's been, I think, improving on both ends of the floor. But I didn't want to see, all of a sudden his clock to be reset again and then him to not play as much and really be a true freshman. I don't get why in this day and age, he's not someone who's getting a COVID fifth year. Those days are going to be over when he's an upperclassman. So I don't understand why the need not to play him necessarily is. And Xavier Johnson is obviously better, but I thought with the situation Indiana was in, let me see a little bit more of Gabe Cupps, and him starting is completely fine. I thought Mike Woodson was going to start Xavier Johnson immediately. He's done the right thing. Xavier Johnson is the right guy to bring off the bench with the scoring he can bring, with his passing, and with his potential to be a really, really good guard. But I think at times where he starts, that turnovers really go up, and he feels like he needs to play hero ball in a sense. But I think coming off the bench is a different mindset for him, and he's played really well in the last two games. Going back home, obviously he's from the DMV area against Maryland. 13 points, 6 assists, just 1 turnover. He was fantastic, and I said this, if he's not on the court, if he's not healthy, Indiana, I don't think, wins either of these games that they have won as of late. So I'll give credit to Xavier Johnson. I'll give credit to the coaching staff putting him in the right spots while still giving Gabe Cupps the minutes to where you're not only trying to win now, as you mentioned, Ben, there's no point in intentionally losing. There's no draft pick you're getting out of this or anything like that. But you're checking both boxes, in my opinion, and that's where I would really, really tip my cap to the coaching staff for doing the right thing here.
Even if it was handled poorly at the beginning and they're starting to figure out, and I give them a lot of credit for that, but I take a little blame off of them. It's just a really tricky situation because you're in that tough spot where, yeah, throwing someone to the fire, a freshman like that, can help in a lot of ways. It really can, but it also can hurt some ways just in terms of hurting confidence and just the fact that you are the only option in that point guard spot besides maybe a little bit of Anthony Leal. But when you're that only point guard option, sometimes that puts a little too much pressure on your freshmen. And sometimes those freshmen just break under those kind of moments, and it takes a while to build them back up. So I think they're in a fine situation right now. And I like what you said about bringing Xavier Johnson off the bench, keeping Gabe Cupps in that starting lineup. Even with all of this, it's still far-fetched right now to imagine Indiana making the NCAA tournament. Not saying it's not possible, but it's still far-fetched. So I think one of the most important things to focus on and to look for in these kind of games is individual progression, individual development. And that's what I've seen from Mackenzie Ogbuadze. I've been so impressed with him the last couple of games. He's got a real shot now with Owen Freeman regressing a little bit to win Big Ten Freshman of the Year. And it's just because ideally, every player on your roster should get better throughout the year, but it's going to happen the most with the freshmen, just with how difficult it is early on. And that's what we're seeing with Mbako. The shot has come like we thought it would, even after starting slow this year. Is there anybody besides Mbako that you've seen individual progression from that you really liked?
For me, it's Trey Galloway. And I know Malik Renew went through a bad spell. Cleo Ware obviously dealt with the illness during that losing streak, especially those two games at home, Ben, against Nebraska and Northwestern. Cleo Ware was gassed, and you could tell he really needed a break, and I think Indiana's done a better job utilizing him. But for me, it's Trey Galloway. I mean, we talk about Xavier Johnson and how, you know, he obviously being injured has not helped this team, but Galloway was pathetic at the beginning of the year, and we know that. Wasn't hitting his shots, wasn't making the plays. He has been fantastic facilitating the floor and being that leader we've called on all year. We know, obviously, neither of these captains, Johnson or Galloway, are as vocal as we thought. At least Johnson, I think, is a little more vocal than Galloway, even when he's been injured. But I think Galloway, with his assists, he's done a great job passing the ball, making the right decisions. He's hit big shots when he's needed to. You know, even in the last game, 12 points, it doesn't make a three, five rebounds, four assists. And overall, for me, with both those guys, it's the turnovers versus the assists. And if Galloway, who has struggled, but on Sunday against Maryland, four assists, two turnovers, and that's a big deal for me. And he's played so many minutes this year. I mean, he's averaging 34, 35 minutes a game this season. He's had to play so much, but he's made some bigger shots, and his passing has really, really improved, which is important because on a team like this, where at least the shooters necessarily aren't there all the time for Indiana, it's not easy to make those passes. But when you have a 7-footer down low that's played better as of late, Malik Renew, we know his potential with this team. For me, Trey Galloway's taken a big step this year, not because of the shooting, but because of the passing. But it's those things sometimes you don't see in the box score that can really make you jump out. I think Trey Galloway's done that, and he's been another big reason why Indiana has been playing well. But it's a team effort, as we know. It's not just one or two players, but it's good to see this progression, especially from Mbako, as you mentioned.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
I think early on, I think the numbers have been consistent from Malik Renew for the most part, but I do think there's a big difference outside of the numbers and being a leader and being able to be the team's only scoring option, but then also fit well in within a system, which I think has gotten better with Xavier Johnson back. The system just runs better. The offense flows better. And I think we've seen that progression from Malik Renew, and just that instead of them needing for him to score, he's just a fluent part of the offense. And a lot of people to credit for that is just the guys around him, especially with Khalil Ware. And talking about Khalil Ware is hard right now, kind of with the question mark if he's coming back. He probably is not coming back to Indiana at this point, if I had to make a guess. But I think that's one of the biggest things, is just not having to rely on Malik Renew so much And I think Trey Galloway is a big part of that. I think so much. You brought up a good point about how the passing doesn't always show up on the stat sheet. And I think when people talk about passing, I think you can look at assists a little too much, and just the fact that that's not all to being a really good teammate, being a really good passer, and just continuing the flow of the offense. So I've been really impressed with Galloway. The one of the biggest questions, though, that people are asking now after the couple of weeks, does this change anyone's opinion on Mike Woodson? I've gone back and forth between this. I personally don't think it can. I think it's hard to evaluate that in the middle of the season anyway, so I don't really love that discussion. But I think if you're in the mindset of, okay, he took a talented team, didn't get him to the tournament, anywhere close to the tournament. At this point where we are still right now, they're still probably not really close to the tournament. So I think even these two games should not mean that much. So I think the discussion was hard to have to begin with a week ago, but I don't think these two games have changed anything.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I will give Woodson some credit here. He has really lived and died with Xavier Johnson throughout his time. I mean, obviously, we saw the negatives really 2 years ago at times where he was just really bad, especially in those road games where Indiana was just so pathetic on the road. He was a big reason why. But then yet again, we know this, everyone knows this, without Xavier Johnson, Indiana does not go to the tournament in his first year. And last year, obviously not having him for the big chunk of the year, really makes you ask, well, how much could Indiana have gone farther if Xavier Johnson is healthy last year? And I surely think if he's on the floor, that Jalen Hood-Schifino does not blossom into the star that he was and into the Big Ten freshman of the year. But there's no doubt that Indiana is better with Xavier Johnson healthy on the roster and most of the time on the floor. And I think that's where Woodson, you know, obviously, you know, Xavier Johnson was someone who he recruited when he came to Indiana, brought him over from Pitt. We saw the highs and the lows. And now we've kind of seen a little bit of the positives as well after coming back from injury when he's fully been healthy. And at this point, obviously, there was no rush to get him back. I thought maybe there was a rush to get him back in the first part of the year when I know he went down, I want to say, against Harvard and missed several games and it was terrible when he came back. But I have to give Woodson some credit with Xavier Johnson in that sense. But at this point, do these two games change anyone's mind on this team? Not quite. It's two quad one wins, I will say that. And you know, I know we're going to get to this, but kind of now it's the question of, well, how many more quad one games are there left on Indiana's schedule? And are there enough to accumulate those to where maybe if Indiana doesn't necessarily win the Big Ten tournament, is there still a conversation? Which maybe the answer is yes. I mean, we can comb through the bad losses and the quad one wins and kind of compare. But I will give Woodson some credit in that sense. I still don't think he's a great game manager. I still think he's way too stingy. His quote the other day, college basketball is a game played inside out. Sure, not really. I mean, they had Trace Jackson Davis. Obviously, that was a lot of inside out. But I mean, Purdue with Zach Edey, I mean, they're still getting the ball into him a lot. And obviously, you have to have the shooters around in order to make that statement true, which Indiana just doesn't have this year. They didn't really have last year, but and Purdue probably does this year. But regardless, that was a silly quote. But I just still think he's too stingy. Things still need to change.
I agree. I think I saw someone, I'm not going to take the credit for this quote, but someone saw that quote that he said and was like, well, yeah, it's played inside out, not just inside. There's literally nothing on the outside for Indiana that has been able to complement the inside play. But you did steal my next question, and the topic was just, is there a route at all for an at-large bid? Obviously, probably have to make the Big Ten championship. Even then, are there enough quad one wins? Five non-quad one losses, that number alone isn't awful, but when you already have eight quad one losses, it's not great. I'm going to say no. I just don't see a route. Maybe if they get lucky in the tournament seeding to where they play kind of a weird like Michigan State, who's a little overranked in the net, where they play them earlier in the Big Ten tournament and get an extra quad one game like that. But a lot of things have to happen. I do not personally see a quad or an at-large bid in Indiana's future, that even being a possibility. I don't know. What do you think?
It's interesting because all of a sudden Indiana had no quad one wins, and now they've rolled off three relatively recently. Obviously, it started with Ohio State, that comeback win, and then kind of has moved on from there these last two games, both quad one wins. But I think the thing for me is we've talked about the quad three and quad four losses are what's going to kill you. Indiana only has one. I think that home loss to Penn State was a quad three loss, and that's their only one. But in quad two games, you're 4-4. That's not fantastic. In quad one, obviously, they've had a bunch of opportunities this year with the tough non-conference schedule to get those. And I think they've gotten blown out. I think that's the metric that's really going to kill you. But if we play the what if game, obviously you win the last two games of the regular season. Those are both quad one wins. If I think Indiana has to beat either Purdue or Illinois in the Big Ten tournament, and maybe I think they have to get to Sunday in order for there to be a conversation. I think they have to get to the championship game, and because that first game, whatever it is, assuming Indiana does not play on Wednesday, because then I think you just don't have enough time and enough rest in order to get all these wins on the schedule, beating Penn State, Rutgers, whoever it is, or even Michigan, someone like that, and a Wednesday isn't going to help you at all. Can really only hurt you. But I think it's possible if you get to, I think you have to get to Sunday, and I think you have to beat Purdue or Illinois. But there's still a chance. I mean, Indiana, I think, could finish anywhere between 13th and 5th, which is, I think, the largest range of any Big Ten team that's still left. So everything's still on the table, and you got to feel good. These are two very winnable games. Indiana played really well against Minnesota earlier in the year at home, and Michigan State. I've been down on them. I was high on them to begin the season, and I was wrong about that. I just don't.
Yeah, I'm not gonna let you get away with that.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm not alone. No, clear, no, surely not. But the metrics are in the favor of Michigan State. I don't really understand why. They just don't win close games, even though they're good enough to do so. But things would have to go their way. I think there's a chance. I think you can still get to Sunday and get to the Big Ten championship game and be in the conversation. And Joe Lunardi can, have some fun toying with Indiana fans on potentially the final day. But obviously, you have to most likely win these last two regular season games. But then obviously, you can just go ahead and win the Big Ten tournament and say screw all of that. So I think there is a small chance for an at-large bid. It has to depend on the way the seeds go, and you're going to have to go through a tough gauntlet in order to get there. But at this, I mean, a week ago we weren't having this conversation. So hey, let's have some fun.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 each and every week of the college basketball season. We have a special offer that will be available starting on Tuesday, January 9th, and running through Monday, February 12th, the morning after Super Bowl 58. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, in honor of the big game, you can use the bonus code FIELD158 and you'll get $158 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD158. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You'll receive $158 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure that you use that bonus code FIELD158 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create separate accounts in each state. It's easy, it's simple, it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the heart of the college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odd boosts, and my favorite, a nice juicy parlay boost. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Field 158.
I think it's tough because I think a lot of it's going to come down to the net. And it's not to sit here and say that the net is end all be all. And certainly there have been some higher ranked new teams in that didn't make the tournament and vice versa. But I think the lowest ranked team that in the net that has ever made the tournament is somewhere in the low 70s. And does Indiana move from 101 to that low 70 spot, even with this kind of scenario? I think it gets close. And I just think it's the fact that Does the committee even give a look to a team that's below 75 in the net? I just think that's really the tough part. I don't even know if the resume is going to get that great of a look in that scenario. Let's just say that doesn't work. Let's just say there's no at-large bid on the table. They need to win the Big Ten tournament. In your eyes, you're kind of eyeing the Big Ten tournament right now on the Big Ten standings. What's a path that you like? Let's say they don't play on Wednesday. They play Thursday. What's a realistic path that you like that sets up the best for Indiana making it to Sunday and ultimately winning Sunday?
Yeah, I think the obvious path, I mean, obviously avoid Purdue at all costs. I mean, that's the easiest one. But as I mentioned, you're probably going to have to beat Purdue or Illinois. I think if you look at the bottom of the bracket, kind of the same spot where the women are, and you're kind of in the kind of the sixth spot, you play maybe if you get the six, you can play kind of the winner, Michigan or Penn State, kind of those bottom teams. But then yet again, Penn State's turned out to be a bad matchup. But if you can kind of go through Northwestern, Illinois in that order, I think that's very, very doable. Indiana, you know, didn't play too well against Northwestern, but they held Boo Booey, and everyone else played well in that game at Assembly Hall this year. But I think if you can get Northwestern, I think Illinois is a good matchup for Indiana, considering Khalil Ware's size and just overall Indiana having two bigs against that very versatile Illinois team. So I think it's somewhere in the lower part of the bracket. If you can get Northwestern, Illinois in that order. If Nebraska goes down there, I'd be fine. I'd be okay playing Nebraska. I'd feel a little bit more comfortable than I was earlier in the year playing them. But then yet again, you know, if let's say Indiana's the 10, maybe you play Michigan State again for the second time in a week, basically, which I don't know would be the greatest thing in the world, that considering the film and all that. And I actually give Indiana a good shot to win that game on Sunday. So the bottom part of the bracket, it is for me. Try and maybe get Northwestern, Illinois as those two double buys potentially as a route to the championship game. But it's not going to be easy. And, obviously Indiana can control a lot themselves. But then yet again, if they win two games and everything else doesn't go their way, then maybe they're in that 8-9 game, and and then Purdue is staring at them, licking their chops the next day, waiting for a potential Friday quarterfinal to beat Indiana three times in a year, which is a scary thought and probably everyone's worst nightmare.
Yeah, I think a couple of big things about that. I think, you just usually in general, you want to wait to play the best team, and that's being Purdue. But I think not only that, I just think it's the fact that you get Zach Edey on a couple back-to-back games where we can maybe be a little more tired, I think is the best time to play Purdue. They showed in the Maui this year, even early in the season, that wasn't that important with that performance against Marquette. They looked dominant in the Maui. But I guess that was early in the season, so things could change late in the season. Another big thing for me, I look at the 7-10 matchups, and I actually really think Indiana wants to avoid Ohio State. Just from the sentiment that it's hard to beat a team three times, and especially with the way that Ohio State's playing right now, even though Indiana didn't really match up with like Penn State great, I would much rather play a team like Penn State than Ohio State right now. And then also in that 7-10 range, Michigan State, we haven't seen them play Indiana, but another team that, like you said, I'm not a huge fan of right now. Minnesota and Iowa are two teams that Indiana's looked great against. I think the first round is sitting in that 7-10 range. I think fares well for Indiana, but I agree that it should be in the 7-10s. I don't hate the way they match up with Nebraska. I know on Indiana's home court, but that was one of Indiana's worst performances of the season. I think the thing about it is Nebraska is such a hot and cold team. And for this to happen, you need a lot of things to go your way, and you need a little bit of luck. And I think Nebraska, if they are cold, really could be one of the worst teams in the Big Ten, just looking at how many shooters they have and how not great they are in the post. So I wouldn't mind getting a team like Nebraska in the SEC semifinals either. I think the biggest thing is just avoiding Purdue until that championship game.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm on the site that now everyone utilizes is the bball.notnothing.net, which you can kind of compare everything out. It's funny that their projections actually have Indiana losing twice, and then would end up as the in the four games on Wednesday, those four teams end up being the 12. So the metrics have, I guess if everything goes the way it's planned, that Indiana will be the 12 and will play Rutgers in the first game. And then you get Wisconsin and Northwestern is actually the next two teams, the 5 and the 4 seed respectively, in order. And then you obviously have to face Purdue in the semis, which is interesting. But, I don't think, and you talk about beating a team three times, I don't think there are a ton of teams I'd be actually scared to play, obviously, other than Purdue. But other than that, it's like we talked about, Nebraska are comfortable, Illinois are pretty comfortable, Iowa, I'm not 100% sure if I'm comfortable with them, but Penn State I don't think is an awful matchup. Sure, you lost twice, but then again, hard to lose to a team three times. But I think Rutgers honestly is a team I'm kind of scared of in that sense, even though I don't think they're a very good team. But the way they just kind of killed Indiana at Jersey Mike's Arena earlier this year, there aren't a ton of teams I would be scared of in the Big Ten tournament. But it's just kind of where does everything fall and kind of how is Indiana going to play. But I think there's just more and more confidence within this team to to play anyone. And this team is talented enough to, I think, compete with a lot of teams in the Big Ten. I mean, you think about it, I don't think Purdue is, like, I think the only team that Indiana has just looked completely lost against this year. But everyone else, Indiana has shown spurts to where you can beat them. And in a year like this where, you know, everyone's kind of – it's kind of a hodgepodge, as we've talked about, beyond Purdue and Illinois – I think that that's a fine thing to say, and at least to have confidence to where Indiana can compete with a lot of teams in the Big Ten gives you a shot in a Big Ten tournament like this. I will say, this goes back to 2 years ago, the committee does not, you know, love these conference tournaments games, just because, you know, of how quickly they're played. Obviously, there's a one-offs. This is the sprint, not the marathon. So I think the more and more you think about that, the more kind of needing to get to Sunday and, you know, maybe just beating Purdue, maybe in the semis, if that has to happen, just might need to happen, because then it might have to be beat Purdue in a championship game. And that, I don't think you give yourself the best chance in. But I don't think there are a ton of teams Indiana should really be in fear of. I don't know how many teams fear Indiana to the other side of the coin. I'm feeling a little bit more confident the more I watch this team play. I think I'll learn a lot more Sunday. How does Indiana play against Michigan State? They haven't faced each other this year. And obviously, how does Indiana look on the road again against Minnesota, which is not known to be a very big road atmosphere, but the barn will kind of always give you that sort of aspect, just the way that place is. So we'll have to see, but the good thing is there's confidence moving in the right direction for this team, and there's a conversation that maybe they don't have to win on Sunday, the Big Ten tournament, in order to see their name in the field of 68.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'll leave the postseason talk off on this. I hate to sound cliche, I really do, and I know fans don't really want to hear this right now, but it is basketball, and we've seen this in college basketball. Not every year, but we have seen it every once in a while. Look at Georgia. I think it was in like 2011 what they did. They were a 14 seed in the NCAA tournament after winning the SEC tournament, if that shows you how bad they were in the regular season. So a couple of years ago, it happened twice, or actually I think three teams. The three of the four 12 seeds were Georgetown, Georgia Tech, and Oregon State, three teams that were not going to make the NCAA tournament if they didn't win their conference tournaments. It's something that happens. And I think for this Indiana team that just has that kind of talent, I just don't think that – I don't want to sound cliche, but I just don't think that they should be written off just quite yet. We look at the next couple of games to finish off the regular season, and me and you have both said already, they're very winnable games, especially when they played against Minnesota on Wednesday. What does Indiana have to do tonight at the barn?
I think the biggest thing is kind of limit Minnesota's ability to pass the ball. This is, you know, Elijah Hawkins is really one of the best players, one of the best passers in the country in that sense. But Minnesota, you know, hasn't been as great as of late. We know that the players they have, Cam Christie's really come on as a fantastic shooter, shooting over 40% this year. But it's kind of, and I heard this on the broadcast the other day, I was listening to Don Fisher, and Eric Sir, the color commentator, said something really well. He said, eliminate kind of that third score. And I think with Minnesota, we know who their, you know, stars are going to be. Dawson Garcia averages 17 a game. This is a team that they have four guys averaging double figures. Cam Christie's one of them. Dawson Garcia is one. Ole Joseph is right around there. So is Elijah Hawkins, the transfer from Howard. Mike Mitchell is averaging 11 points. Eliminate that third score and kind of that third guy getting double figures, or just that third guy averaging, you know, 15 plus points when he doesn't usually. I think that's one of the most important things. And then it's the turnover margin. Indiana was great in that sense against assisted turnovers against Minnesota when they played at Assembly Hall. It was a game that was fantastic energy, and Indiana really reflected that in the first 10 minutes when they really won the game at that point. You know, it's not easy for Indiana, especially with this team this year, to necessarily win a game within the first 10, 12 minutes. But that's what the Hoosiers did really against Minnesota, and they really left no room for the Gophers to come back. So a turnover is always it is for me, and limiting that third score or just the turnover margin. This is a very good team. Minnesota is. They average about 18 assists a game to 12 turnovers. That's a 1.5 margin. That's a pretty good difference that the Gophers have. So try and eliminate that, force some turnovers, make your free throws, and you know take good threes when you get them. But this is an important test for Indiana on the road. Obviously, they'll be in Minnesota for the Big Ten tournament. So can you come back to Bloomington as a happy team after already beating Minnesota this year? This is a Minnesota team that came off a pretty good win against Penn State, down by double digits at the half, coming back to nearly win by 10. I'm pretty sure that game was in Happy Valley too. That was a good road win for that team. And for this Minnesota team, Ben Johnson, there was really no expectations this year. Picked to finish last. People had him on the hot seat, and they have put themselves in a conversation at least for the NCAA tournament. So it's kind of usually the same for me, that the free throws and the turnovers and limiting it on the other side makes a big difference. But Indiana, I think 5.5 point underdogs, which is interesting considering the way they played earlier this year. But it's a road team. Indiana on the road, we know, is a different animal. And if they play anything like they do in the first half against Maryland, then we could be in for some big trouble.
Yeah, I think something that's so important right now in this game specifically, because this is something Indiana struggled with, and it's something that Minnesota has beat teams with. You got to guard the three-point line early. Minnesota is a team that you look at a couple of games they've had this year, shooting over 50% from three in multiple games. They just get so hot, and they make really tough threes. But a lot of teams just want to sit there. A lot of fans want to sit there and say, well, it's their day. They're making those kind of threes. But when you let a team get hot like that by giving them easy three-pointers early, that's when they kind of gain that confidence and get hot later on. I think if you limit the three-pointers early and play really good three-point defense in the first 5 or 10 minutes and kind of throw them off their shooting game, I think that's one of the biggest things, especially with how much Minnesota's relied on the three-pointers this year. With all this being said, got to ask, no guest to ask this week. That's kind of sad, but us two can give our predictions, final score prediction. You were close in Minnesota. No, you were way too low on the scoring side, weren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, Indiana won, but I think I said like 63-59 or something. Yeah. It was 74-70. I had the margin pretty close. I had Indiana winning. You and Zach got that one wrong. I can rub that one in for the rest of the year. Then yet again, I said Indiana would go 1-4 and lose out. So, you know, a little bit of shame there, but this is the first time Indiana has won two straight games since December when they skated past. It was, God, who was it? Morehead State and Kennesaw State when they won those. I think it was two games back to back, something like that, in late December after the loss to Kansas. And now the Hoosiers have momentum for the first time seemingly since then. Do I really think this team is good enough to win three straight? I'll say it. Screw it. Yes, Indiana wins this game. I don't think Minnesota is that good of a team to beat Indiana in a game like this with as much momentum as Indiana has. Minnesota's got plenty of momentum as well. But I would say the Hoosiers skate away with one. They didn't play very well last year. Remember, this is the game last year where Mike Woodson had, had COVID, and Indiana barely skated by. If it wasn't for Trace Jackson Davis, who had like 16
rebounds or something like that.
Like six blocks. He had that incredible dunk where he jumped on a trampoline to kind of save that game. And then who was it? Yase Rosemond said, if you find like 20 players better than the draft, I'll kiss your ass, which is still one of the best quotes to the day. I guess I'm going to kiss ass here to Indiana and say they win three straight. I will say 78-75, Indiana wins against Minnesota at the Barn, and they win three straight for, what, the first time since starting 3-0? I think that's the only other three-game winning streak Indiana's had this year, which is kind of funny to chuckle at.
I usually don't like to agree with you, but after seeing the first game of the season at Indiana between Indiana and Minnesota, and just how uncomfortable Indiana's length made Minnesota, and I throw Xavier Johnson in there too, we can make things uncomfortable defensively. I like Indiana. I think it's going to come down to the wire. I think I'll make it fun. I'll predict a one score or 1 point game. I'm going to go 79-78 Indiana at the Barn. I just think with the momentum that they've got from the last couple of games, I just think I'm not a huge believer in Ben Johnson right now. I know that he's exceeded expectations a little bit. I think that might have more to do with how disappointing the bottom of the Big Ten's been. I don't know. That's a debate to have for a later time. That's not the debate right now. The debate we talked about was, does Indiana have a chance with an at-large bid, and what the postseason was going to look like. and how Indiana is going to fare tonight against Minnesota. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. That game, I don't know what time it is tonight. Austin, fill me in. I forgot the time. It's Central time, or it's Central time zone, so it should probably be a 9 o'clock game for us.
9 o'clock Eastern tip. Get caffeine out. I have no idea what channel it's on, but at that point, if you're up at 9 o'clock, you can flip through the dial and figure it out. It's one of those 9 o'clock games. We missed it. We dearly missed it. We haven't had a 9 o'clock game, it feels like, in quite some time, since I don't even know the last 9 o'clock game Indiana had.
You miss it? You missed that?
What, the last 9 o'clock game?
The 9 o'clock games?
I've not missed them at all. No, personally. Yeah, no.
Well, Indiana at Minnesota at the Barn tonight at 9 o'clock. Thanks for everyone for tuning in. Should have more special stuff for the postseason, but for tonight against Minnesota, I've been Ben Haller. That's Austin Platt. Thanks for watching the House of Hoosier.